My name's Daniel Prin, and I'm a staff writer here with The Movie Buff, and one of the voices for The Movie Buff podcast. Today I have two interviews for you, for the Apple TV Plus documentary Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry, a documentary that follows Billie Eilish creating her first studio album. I was able to speak with cinematographer Jenna Rocher, as well as editors Greg Fenton and Lindsay Utz. The film is now available to stream on Apple TV Plus to watch at any time, even if you want to watch after finishing this podcast. First up, here's my conversation with cinematographer Jenna Rocher, where we chat about going with the flow of the story, filming the scenes, laughing while being on a fly on the wall, and much more. So let's get right into it. I'm here with cinematographer Jenna Rocher for Billie Eilish. Did I get it wrong again?
You said Rocher. It's okay.
Rocher.
Yes! Perfect.
Okay, cinematographer Jenna Rocher for Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry. I would have laughed so hard if I would have got it wrong again there.
You did it. You got it, Daniel. You're good. Don't worry.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. So my first question is more like a logistical question. So how much of this film did you shoot and how much was Billie's mom kind of shooting like home footage?
So, you know, I would say the first 39 minutes of the movie is a lot of footage from Billie's mom. There's an absolute documentarian in Maggie. She knew that her kids are sensational and were going to continue to be sensational in their work. And she would mount GoPros everywhere and, you know, film the iPhone whenever there was a conversation that was seemed of interest. You know, there's absolutely a documentarian in her. I don't know the actual percentage. I know that once we hit the 39 mark, it's still quite a bit of her iPhone footage in there, but a lot of it's our footage as well. So, I mean, that was just a gift because there was so much, especially of the making of the album, that, and the moments are so beautiful because they're on GoPro because there was no one in there. You know, reminding them that they were being recorded. It was literally GoPros just set up. So, and they captured some incredible moments there. So, or Maggie did. Yeah. So, I don't know the actual percentage. I think when I watched the movie, I'm not really, it's all kind of seamless. It all kind of works because I think there's nowadays, especially, the notion of someone filming, you know, someone from that generation since birth seems pretty plausible. So, and it really, like, her footage really just adds such dimension and intimacy as well to the film. I love it when Billie's mapping out her "When the Party's Over" video with her mom as the stand-in, you know, with dad in the background, like, picking up dog poop. I mean, come on, it doesn't get better than that.
<It's> awesome. Right?
So great.
It's like having a co-cinematographer, I think, right?
Yes, I love it. Absolutely. She's incredible, Maggie. Yeah.
Now, that scene that you just referenced with the black coming out of Billie's eyes,
yeah,
like, that made me think of like how she's kind of just storyboarding the music video. But for you, I don't think you'd have the luxury of like storyboarding. So, like, do you just kind of shoot by gut, or do you just know the situation so well that, and that's how you shoot?
I mean, I shoot by gut, because I never know what's going to happen, especially in a rising 17-year-old star's life. And during the time frame that we were with her, we really were on a ride. We didn't know what was going to happen the next second. A phone call would come in and it would be this amazing offer, or it'd be a nomination of some sort, or a plethora of opportunities. And so, you know, and then she's a teenager and wants to get in her car and just drive, because that's all she wants to do is drive, you know. So we're like, be ready to get in the car and drive, you know. So it was, you just had to be ready. That's like one of my things is when you're making Verite films, you just, like, you got to get the self-care out of the way. You have to be organized, ready, have everything you need on your person, on your body, and like, just, you know.
Okay.
Have a blast.
Now, how long were you guys with the family for?
I mean, we filmed over the course of over a year. We were with them. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was for 100 days of filming we filmed. Yeah. And we were on tour in Europe. We were on tour on her US tour with her. We were on her Australian tour with her. So we went, we spent quite a bit of time, and we of course spent a lot of time in her home in LA. So we were, we covered a lot of ground, a lot of geography with Lily. And we got to know her family really well. You know, so much of it is about that relationship and nurturing that relationship and trust. And, you know, that doesn't happen right away. But I think they're incredibly open people. And I think we could find, you know, a lot of commonalities between each other too. You know, I'm a mom, so I was always really fascinated by Maggie's like parenting and Maggie and Patrick's parenting style. I just thought, oh, they're the, such amazing parents. They're so inspiring. I would always ask Maggie like parenting questions when we weren't filming, you know, things like that. So you just, it was very personal. It was very sweet, but always very much filled with respect. You know, I had the utmost respect for Billy and her brother Phineas and her mom and dad and her dog and her cat. You know, like I was, we were coming into their world, and that's the thing, you have to respect people's space and their lives. So it's just knowing when to back off and being patient.
Sure. Now, being a fly on the wall, were there any times where you had to like really stifle your laughter or anything?
Yes, I never. It's so funny, RJ and I lately are like the fly on the wall. Like he's like, we're the biggest flies on any wall. I mean, we always kind of say, like, you know, we're there. We're very much there, and everyone knows we're there. But that's okay, and it's just about them getting used to us being there, and them being okay with us being there. It's but yeah, no, Billy made me laugh a lot. I was actually worried about the editors hating me because sometimes I just would laugh out loud because she's so funny. She's really funny. Yeah. And I was thinking, oh, I just ruined it for them because I laughed out loud. But I try, in some cases, I really try and just like muffle my laugh or laugh, like do the old silent, you know, one of those. But it's hard because she's really funny. She made me laugh a lot. She's hilarious. So.
Now, what were moments where you laughed out loud? Was the second time she met Orlando Bloom, was that one of them? Because I thought that was great.
Oh my gosh. That scene makes me laugh so hard. That was the best because she had no idea at first who he was. And the minute she found out, she was like, oh, hi. You know, and like she gives him a hug. It's so great. I mean, it's just the absurdity of it all. Like, I love how he's coming back and he was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Don't start without me. You know, like, what? She's about to go on Coachella. You know, there's just so many moments. That's definitely a really funny moment. I mean, her dog made me laugh all the time because her dog shows, like, she shows her affection by growling and she's very vocal. And that would always, like, that would just make me laugh all the time. Even, like, in the scene later where she's driving her car and she's, like, feeling really good. Like, she's like, I'm pretty somewhat. I'm famous as expletive. Oh. Yeah. And, like, there's a shot of her dog. And that's the dog in between my legs in the car because I'm in the front seat with her. And her dog came. And she's literally... Pepper is in between my legs, and I don't know, it's just things like that. It's just, it's so great, it's so real, and it's exact, it's such a, that, yeah, like I got a shot of the dog because the dog was in the car with us, you know. Ridiculous. Awesome. Hilarious. Cool. Yeah,
staying on Coachella, I'm just curious, there's so much coverage in that scene. Which camera were you operating, the one with Billy?
I'm with Billy the whole time. Yeah, that was sort of the, you know, Coachella has their own cameras, so it made sense to have them. They were filming it essentially. Okay. And my focus was just to be with Billy. So I'm with her backstage, and you know, when she's kind of brokenhearted by her boyfriend not coming after the show, which was, you know, that to me is just kind of breaks my heart every time I see it in a way. Cause she's, first of all, put on such an amazing performance, and you know, her miss, like forgetting lines of the song, like, big deal, yeah. Right? As her dad says. But for her, it was a big deal. And she was being really hard on herself. And then of course, like then the added sort of reality of her boyfriend not being around. And I really felt for her. And I felt so grateful that she was willing to let me be there in that moment, in that sort of quiet, lonely moment that she was feeling, I think. So, and it continued as she got back to the hotel room. She was just exhausted. It was so much pressure, so much buildup, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's so beautifully cut. I mean, the way, like when she's in the car and the way her head just crashes down into the seat in front of her and the way the music, that instrumental hits is so beautiful. It's such a testament to like the incredible editing. We'll have to talk to Lindsay and Greg about that. It's good stuff.
Okay. I'll note that down for sure. Yeah. But I just, for someone like me who I didn't know much about Billie Eilish before this film, other than I'm obsessed with their song Ocean Eyes. I just like, mm-hmm. I love that in general, but yeah. So it was interesting to me just like learning how human she is. Like she has all these anxieties and just everything. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, she has Tourette's. She's got synesthesia, which is this crazy, I don't think they really go into her synesthesia so much, but she experiences the world through like smells and days of the week and colors. And so,
okay.
She's nobody like her really. And that's what I found so intriguing, you know, and every moment was something new and exciting and surprising. And then also there'd be moments like when she gets her driver's license and drives away for the first time from her family, like none of us considered what that moment would be. We didn't even anticipate it. We just thought, oh, we're going to be a Billie when she gets her driver's license. She gets in the car and drives away and her parents are left with this sense of like unexpected loss and emptiness and to like be there with them in that moment was just, so it's so heartbreaking and so beautiful and poetic. Her dad is such a poet in the way he speaks, but also it's mm-hmm. like so relatable, you know, it's so relatable. It's like, that's what being a parent is all about, like right there. And I feel very blessed to have been able to capture that moment with them. I mean, we all felt blessed. Jay, our sound op, and RJ, our director, we were just, I remember like getting in the car after that and just, we were just all kind of like stunned. Like, did that just happen? That was unbelievable. And we just felt so much for her parents in that moment and felt for her, like the excitement and thrill of being able to get in a car and be on your own. Like,
okay, so okay, my last one then. I thought it was very interesting how Billie's mom says at one point, or her dad said it, that she has 1 million followers on Instagram and then she has 16. So was that kind of cool for you, like watching her grow? Because you kind of have a front row seat for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was like, I mean, my first shoot with her was in Europe and she was in a club that I would imagine could hold maybe 1,000, 1,500 people. And by the time we finished, she was starting her world tour literally at the beginning of the pandemic. And she was about to open for like the stadium that the Miami Dolphins play in.
Oh.
That's like 25,000, maybe more. I don't even know. But like that's how much had changed in the course of just over a year. And that was just, yeah. I mean, just the like level of photo shoots, you know, would, you know, it was like, it starred in these really cool kind of artsy music magazines. And then boom, she's like, you know, on the cover of Vogue and Elle and, you know, Vanity Fair, which I think was sometime later, but still like, yeah, it was just, I think just the world's fascination with her grew and people, you know, I mean, after the film came out, I'm like, what was that like to be with her? I was just still very much interested in the family story. I mean, yeah, the rise to fame as an artist, and it's very interesting, and especially having to navigate it as a 17-year-old, but also like what she was also just going through as a 17-year-old person, trying to navigate love and you know, her own self-worth and really figuring out like what she, you know, her, and like owning her power, you know, realizing like, wait a minute, I'm the boss here. You know, I mean, she's always known what she wants. She's a visionary. She's always known like how she wants things to look, how she wants things to feel. She's, you know, it's no surprise that she would start directing her music videos because she conceived all of them.
Right.
You know, she has dreams and would conceive a video out of a dream. And it's one thing to like then come to the point of like, but no, like this is, I have, this is my power. Like this is, to feel comfortable in it, I think was amazing. And you really see that in that scene after that show where she's very emotional and then she's forced to go and kind of interact with different people to take photos and all these sort of obligatory things that artists have to deal with, which is, you know, certainly it's part of the job, but sometimes it's hard. And you really see like that was really hard. She was going through a lot of personal stuff and then she's out there getting sucked into this like pool of humans that it was a bit of a mess. And for her the next day to just be essentially saying to her team and her family included, like, you know, don't put me in that position again, was really like, wow. Yeah, girl. Yeah. Power to Billy, you know? So that was pretty, it was pretty extraordinary to watch.
Awesome. Thank you for letting me add that last point.
Of course.
In.
Yeah, no problem.
Cinematographer Jenna Rocher rhymes with kosher.
Yeah, exactly.
Billie Eilish. The world's a little blurry. Thank you so much for chatting with me on The Movie Buff.
Aw, thank you so much, Daniel. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Thanks for listening to that conversation, and thanks again, Jenna, for coming on. Please stick around for the conversation with Greg Vincent and Lindsay Utz, where we talk about meeting Billie Eilish, the editing process, and much more. And that conversation starts right now. Hey guys, Greg Fenton and Lindsay Utz, editors on Billie Eilish, The World's a Little Blurry. How's it going?
Good.
Good. Great to be here.
Cool. Great to be here. Thanks for having us.
No worries. I figured I'd start out with a two-parter that is kind of, I'm curious, just because I imagine you guys are more of the post-production, so I'm curious if you ever met Billie. And if you did meet her, if it was a bit surreal, like editing her for so long and then meeting her.
go ahead, Lynn.
Yeah, we did. Well, it's always surreal when you meet the subject of a film you've been working on because you know them so well and they have no idea who you are. So usually in non-COVID times, you know, you can all see each other's faces. And, you know, there have been times I've like wanted to like hug a character in a film and they just look at me like I'm crazy because they don't know who I am. But in this case, you know, we did meet her. We had a screening, like a big group screening of like a long cut of the film. But everyone was in masks and obviously there was no hugging and we were all kind of keeping our distance, but it was, you know, and in the case of Billie, I don't know if Greg, you felt this way, but she's just so like authentic and so real in the footage that meeting her wasn't as surreal as I thought it would be. It just felt like, oh, there's the person I've spent the last year with in my edit room, you know, there she is. And, I don't know. It was nice. She's very, very much the same person in real life as she is in the footage. So it was fun and not too surreal.
And that was what's so great about it is that she was so real and she was exactly the person we'd been looking at for almost a year at that point. You know, there was no disconnect in that sense, you know. And we also met the entire family that night for the first time as well. And so it was, you know, for me, it was bombarded with all these people I've been staring at for a full year. And so it was great. I had a really great conversation with Patrick that night and also Maggie. And it was, if anything, Billy seemed more like just a regular teenager when we met her in person, I'd say.
Okay, that's super cool. Yeah, it's almost like a little voyeuristic though, because it's like, oh, I know you, but you don't know me yet, kind of thing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I had seen her perform a few months before I started working on the film, and I didn't know what to expect because I'd never actually seen her before before that night, and she was so powerful and so bigger than life. You know, I was just really, really happily surprised when when Lindsay and I first started watching through the footage that RJ had already captured at that point, and seeing how just regular, what a regular teenager down to earth she was, you know, it was interesting.
Awesome. Now, for you guys, like with all the coverage that they're bringing back, I've gained such a respect for documentary editing just because of how much coverage you have to sift through, how much footage there is. So I'm just curious, like, how much do you have to collaborate with the director, RJ Cutler, to like figure out what he wants for the story and just for the edit?
Greg, well, you want to take
that? Sure. Because I've worked with RJ for 20 years. Okay. So we've worked on, you know, all different types of projects, and I'd say with this one, he was the most involved I've ever worked with him before. Like he had a pretty strong idea of what he wanted from the beginning, as far as like he certainly had a strong idea of the overall story we were telling. But it's just a daily, it changes on a daily basis, you know, the what we're seeing, you know, both Lindsay and I each bring our own perspective into what we see. And then RJ has his perspective and Jenna has her perspective. We also had a great co-producer in Jonathan Ruane, who had watched everything before Lindsay and I even came on. And his ability to retain what he watched was pretty amazing, and so he was a great resource for us as well, and he had his own perspective. But you know, if anything, RJ was almost too involved for Lindsay and I as far as what we wanted in the beginning, right? I mean, you know, we're both used to Lindsay, I don't want to speak totally out of turn for you, but like I'm certainly used to, in the way I work with RJ, I'm used to, like, you know, being able to sit with footage for a week or two at a time and work on something, and then he'll want to like see it after that. He wanted to see stuff on a daily basis. I think mostly because he was just so excited by the project.
Yeah. I'm also used to having, yeah, not being as in touch with the director on a daily basis. You know, usually they give you a lot of freedom to kind of absorb the material and kind of come up with ideas, and RJ was very involved in this process, and you know, but the good news is that we all shared, Greg and RJ and I all share a similar process, which is kind of cutting down the material into long assemblies of scenes and then building these big string outs of the footage. So like our first, you know, long string out slash assembly was almost, you know, 24-25 hours, and then it got longer before it got shorter.
Right.
And you know, we took the whole week to watch that as a team. Mm-hmm. So Greg and I had been working on all these scenes, and then we put it in an order, and then we all kind of went our separate ways and watched it, and then we would talk about what we were seeing. And you know, we were obviously watching a very fat version of the film at that point, but you can, you know, I think for all of us, that's how you can really start to see what's, you know, what's working and what isn't, you know, like what characters are really coming to life on screen and what moments are the real gems and what, you know, I know for RJ, you know, you may like be in the field and think you got something incredible, but then when you watch the material, it might not be what you remembered it was, you know, right. And so I think it's an important part of the process to go through with the director to kind of confront the actual material that you're working with and not just the idea of the film. And so we, you know, I think it was for me, it was really gratifying to go as an editor, share the same process with the director, because a lot of directors don't want to sit and watch things in that kind of raw state. They don't have right. patience for it. So in this case, I think there was joy in sharing that process of getting all this material down to like a shorter version. And we really, you know, it took a while. Like it was a distillation process. You know, RJ always talked about it being like like a sauce, you know, like a some sauce that you have boiling on the stove, and you have to just, the longer it simmers, you know, the better it'll be. So it was like,
okay,
you know, we really just kind of slowly removed things, and the cut got shorter and shorter and shorter over time, but that helped us you know, understand what was really needed for the film and what was best.
Cool. That's awesome. Now, like, I feel like in terms of structure, like, I feel like this is almost as much coming of age as it is like concert documentary. So like, did you have to be mindful of like the ratio of like not letting too much time pass between like putting in a in a concert scene?
It wasn't so much like time pass. It was just about, you know, it's always about where we are in the story that we're telling, is, okay, as far as like, yeah, what we're using and how we're using it. So like, you know, we were very conscious of overall flow for the film. And so we found when we would put, you know, two big concert scenes together, or two scenes that were similar in tone, if we put them together, it starts to feel a little flat, even though those are both really great scenes. You want to vary things, you know? So it's much more cinematically exciting if you can put a big exciting scene like a concert next to a quieter scene like Billy at Home or something like that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I think we were more conscious of that, wouldn't you say, Lindsay?
Yeah. I mean, we saw the concerts as an extension of the kind of you know, coming of age and rise of an artist kind of story that we were telling, and so we tried to, you know, choose those performances wisely so it felt not like you were like going, you know, pausing the movie and going to a concert, but that the concert was kind of growing out of the story and the, yeah, and the mood of the verite. And so we tried to, you know, and that getting the proportions right, like what you mentioned, like that was tough. I mean, you know, you have cuts where there's too much concert, or cuts where there's not enough music, you know? And so that's just like trial and error, you know, you have to kind of feel your way through it. I mean, definitely we had cuts where there was like a 45 minute concert in the middle of the film. Right. And that, you know, there was some serious discussion about whether that could work. And I think at a certain point we all, you know, had to face the fact that, you know, we can't have all, like, as much as we love all these performances and we love watching her in concert, you know, you can't leave the story for too long,
right?
Or else it, you know, you lose something. So finding that balance between the music and the verite was definitely tricky up until the very end.
Yeah.
Okay. It kind of like works out pretty well though, like from what they got in the footage, like how, like, specifically Coachella, like how you guys were able to have that concert scene and then it really just naturally progresses into the verite with her like being like so, like, I feel like she had a lot of imposter syndrome, just like that she's not good enough for this even though she's so talented,
yeah,
kind of thing. But like, and she's just doubting her performance, and I thought that was, I feel like that's kind of cool for you guys, like how like the real life can be, make your edit a little bit easier maybe. I don't know.
I wouldn't necessarily say it makes the edit easier.
Okay.
Because you feel that way because of what we set up, the storytelling that we set up before she gets to Coachella.
You know? Okay.
So that's always, it's great that it feels that way. And, you know, we're really happy about that, but yeah, there's always some work to be done to make things seem simple.
Okay. I hope I don't undermine your jaws being like, it's easy.
Not at all.
No,
that's a big compliment. So
okay.
No, but it's true. I mean, you never, you know, it's for editors, it's the biggest compliment when people mm-hmm. are like, it just is so natural. It was so easy. Right. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
Because it takes a lot of work to make it look like that and feel like that. So we're proud of that.
Okay. Okay. Good. Right. My, I think I have time for one last one. So I just wanted to reference that great little moment where Billy gets the Instagram message from Justin Bieber, and she's like, oh, like if he asked me, I'd probably kill my own dog. And then it just pans down to the dog.
It doesn't, it might not pan down to the dog.
there was a lot of debate about which dog cutaway shot was best.
Yes.
Oh really?
Yeah, there was another cutaway shot that I thought was funnier. Even funnier than the one that's in there, but I was overruled. But I'm glad it works. I'm glad it works.
Trust me, the one that's in there is the funniest one.
that was like a little bit of a fight between you guys.
Greg still thinks he's right, but if you could see the other cutaway shot, I think you'd be with me.
No, I don't think Daniel would have even brought it up as a great point in the film if he'd seen the other shot, you know. So.
All right, I'll let you have this one, Fenton.
Fenton won Utes, probably 0.5.
Utes is way ahead of me, believe me.
Fair enough. I think that was my time. So, Greg Fenton and Lindsay Utes. Editors, I'm Billie Eilish. The world's a little blurry. Thank you for chatting with me on The Movie Buff. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.